Announcement, I forgot. Somebody's keys. So if you recognize these keys, they were lost or found or something, so here they are if you know whose they are. Now for the real reason we came here today, to hear our brother speak. Certainly not a stranger to any of you, and I know he comes this day prepared to bring a message to you. So I'm going to ask that you give your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother Adam. Adam?
The reason that you've come this morning was not to hear me speak. If you came this morning to hear me speak, you will be disappointed. I could certainly stand up and say all sorts of things, and even good things, even things that are, you would expect me to say things that are good and are spiritual and are right out of the scriptures, but you know, if the Lord's not the one who's leading it, it's just me speaking. And so I hope that you've come with the anticipation that the Lord has a message, and I do feel on my heart today, throughout this week, a message to share with you that's been impressed upon my heart. Throughout this week, I've considered this. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, our words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters calm over troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me, His faithful follower I will be, for by His hand He leadeth me. You know, we sing this song, and I love this song. I hadn't really considered this song much, but I looked at it in preparation for this service, you know, and this writer, Joseph Gilmore, you know, he brought this from one simple scripture in the book of Psalms. And we'll read it here in a moment. I don't know how many of you find yourselves in your relationship with the Lord like I do. So often the Lord speaks to me through song. I'll have something going on in my life, something I'm praying about, something I'm considering, something I'm troubled about, and I'll pray about it. And you know, as in those moments sometimes where you're praying and you pause, or there's this sounds strange, but there's no thought, there's nothing in your mind, which I find frequently. All of a sudden, the words to a song, or oftentimes the Lord will put a song, I can hear the congregation singing it. And it's what I need to hear. You know, the other day I was praying in my bed, considering some things and being troubled because of some of the circumstances of life right now. You know, and I'm praying to the Lord and I'm asking for Him to guide me, and you know, in a moment the song came and I could hear it being sung, Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. This week, you know, I've had some challenges in my life. They've been ongoing for some time. This past week was kind of just an extension of it, with some of the things that I've been dealing with concerning my job and concerning our future and all those things, you know. And I found myself on Tuesday, as I was considering some of the decisions and things that my wife and I are going to be making concerning our future, feeling troubled and concerned. And as I was sitting there in my house, my son Easton came running by doing something, and he probably doesn't remember doing it. He was singing, He Leadeth Me. And the song, it's as if it was burned into my mind to consider these words. I want to turn to 2 Nephi chapter 3, and I'm going to read two verses here. I'm going to read verses 34 and 35. In this particular psalm of Nephi that we read, and I find myself going to this so often to seek direction and guidance and comfort from the Lord. I'm going to read verses 34 and 35. He says, when I desire to rejoice, My heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support, and he hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. You know, I consider this for a moment, and I look at this man who, as we look through Scripture, you know, God was with him, and he gives a snapshot of his relationship with the Lord in these 20 or so verses here, of these things and these experiences, you know. And the Lord was with Nephi, and he took him and he showed him from the beginning to the very end, and he led him across wildernesses and across seas and all those things, you know. And what he says, my God has been my support. And then he goes on to say that he has led me. That God has led him. But where did he lead him? He says he led me through my afflictions. Through my afflictions in the wilderness, in those times where I didn't have a field that I could go out and harvest my food from, and I was no uncertain place to rest. He led me. He didn't take me away from those afflictions, nor did he just remove him from those wildernesses. He preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. You know, he kept him alive in times of trial, times of uncertainty. He was there. You know, I think so often we have this misconception as Christians that, you know, it comes to in a little bit of what our brother Jim preached about last Sunday. You know, how do we view God? And he gave us several ways that we oftentimes view God. And you know, I wonder that sometimes we find it, and we recognize, we talk to people within our lives who they have this view of God, and sometimes I'm afraid we have this same view, that unless God is bringing us peace and happiness, unless God is staying every trial from us, sometimes we wonder if he's there, and we miss the fact. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters calm or over troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leads me. I want to turn to Psalms. The 23rd Psalm, we all know this. This was the inspiration for this particular song. Joseph Gilmore, as he was looking, there was simply one phrase that touched him. And he was, if I remember it rightly, he was sitting in church and he turned to the back of his page and scribbled out the words to this song, handed it over to his wife and forgot about it. And she sent it on to some gospel periodical and it turned into this beautiful song that we sing. Psalm 23, I'm just going to read verses 1 through 3. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, I want us to consider this in our life and in our walk as Christians and where we're at in the Church of Christ, where we're at in the Phoenix Local, where you are at in your life today. Do you recognize and are you looking for the leading of this Savior, this Shepherd, who wants to lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake? Though oftentimes that leading will bring us through afflictions in the wilderness and waters of the great deep, enemies before us, trials and tribulations. When we find ourselves in these difficult times, are we looking for the Lord to be with us and to lead us? Are we desiring for him to bless us? I looked back this last night and, you know, I was just considering just this year some of the sermons that we've heard just here in Phoenix. Jim, last Sunday night, he talked to us about how we view God in the circumstances we run into in our life. How do we view him? Do we view him as a God looking to destroy, to punish, or do we look at him as a loving God who wants to be with us and walk with us? Jose, Brother Jose, he preached and he says, you know, man corrupts what God has put together. Man corrupts it. You know, God's way is the good way, and so we need to begin to separate ourselves from man's ideas. Stephen preached. He asked if we're willing. Are we willing? His sermon was about willingness to follow after the Lord. Aaron talked about the unchangeable wisdom of God, that He put these things into practice and they are for our guidance and for our direction. Jerry preached about priorities and about seeking God and His kingdom. You know, the Lord is leading us to grow and to be strengthened. He's leading us to consider where we're at and what things we put His stock in, what we're valuing in our lives, that as we go day by day, that we consider that there is something greater that we're being led to. Though oftentimes it means that circumstances aren't always pleasant. And this is a great difficulty to us. You know, there's just a couple things, and I don't intend to keep you guys long here today. Just a few thoughts that I wanted us to consider. As you look at your life, and you look at where it is that you are going, what is it that the Lord does? Here we look in this 23rd Psalm, and in the third verse it says that the Lord, you know, this shepherd, He leads us in the paths of righteousness. You know, what is it that the Lord leads us to? I wrote down here a couple things. You know, He leads us to faith. The Lord, if we would heed Him, He leads us to trust in Him, to be willing to forego our own wisdom and our own desires until we feel the impress and the lead of His Spirit. We're willing to put our hearts fully to Him in faith, knowing that He's willing to hear and knowing that He desires to bless us. He leads us in the paths of repentance. You know, we've had some circumstances and some things that have been shared with us recently that says we need to be working on our relationships with each other. The Lord is leading us to do these things. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to let the Lord lead you? Conflict, trouble, frustration, one with another, with your spouse, with another church member, with a brother or a sister. Are we willing to do these things? You know, the Lord leads us in those paths of righteousness for the clearing and the cleansing of ourselves. To stand rightly before Him, say that I followed where You wanted me to go. Relationships, are we willing to let Him lead us in the relationships we're in? In patience, what does the Lord lead us to? You know, one thing that I feel so strongly as I've been enduring trouble and difficulty in life, I recognize the wisdom that the Lord has led me to be together with my brothers and sisters here. He's never led me to be alone. He's never led me to isolate myself nor to separate myself from the people that He's put in our lives and in our church and these relationships to gain strength together. The Lord leads us in these paths. The question that we always have to ask ourselves is, you know, there's another song that we sing, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." You know, when the Lord gives direction and guidance, are we willing to follow? Are we willing to go in the way that He wants us to? You know, consider some of the stories of that we read in Scripture about the difficult places that the Lord led His people through. Consider some of the testimonies of brothers and sisters who are sitting in this very room when they're willing to follow the Lord when He leads them in times that are difficult. Are we willing to do those things and let the Lord be the guide and the director of our life? How do we view Him as He's working in our life? I want to consider just a few things that as I was thinking about this, you know, that there's always voices that are around us, you know, and so often there's always these voices. They're trying to lead us. You know, I can only envision that if we were able to see all of the spiritual things that goes on, that there is a raging battle around each one of us for our attention, for our heart to be influenced by, and all those things. And you know, there's always voices. And you know, in the circumstance that I'm dealing with right now at work, I can't tell you how many voices there have been. Voices of people that I've had friendships with for a long time. You should do this. You should do that. There's always voices that are being put up in front of us. And how do we know where we go, what it is that we should do? What should lead us? I want to consider for a few moments that we have this challenge in front of us, and I have three things that I want us to consider. And first is that we can allow man to lead us. And I want to continue here in the third chapter of 2 Nephi, and I want to read some really familiar scriptures here that we know and that we talk about all the time. And let's consider what all this means. I'm going to read here, 2 Nephi chapter 3, we were already there. We're just going to read verses 61 through 63. Here is, as Nephi is coming to a conclusion of him pouring out his heart, he makes these statements that we have to consider. O Lord, I have trusted in Thee, and I will trust in Thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh. For I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that puts his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. You know, there is this, there we read in Proverbs, it says, you know, there's a way that seems right to man. We have amongst us in this local and in the people that you work with in your families, we have great intelligence. We do. We have people who are able to figure things out. This morning, Stephen was talking about when he used to be a scientist, you know, and he was a chemist. I mean, he, you know, all these mathematical equations and things that go in there. I'm not as smart as Stephen. Hey, you know, we're surrounded by people who have great intelligence, who have experience in things, you know, and as we look at situations in life, we can be tempted to put our trust in the wisdom of man. We can be tempted to put our trust in our own wisdom. I think I can do it this way. And I don't want to take away the responsibility that, you know, Chris mentioned it this morning in Sunday school, that we have a responsibility to make decisions. We have to step out. You know, I talked about that the other day with my brother Jay. You know, we have to make decisions in life. We can't sit here and not ever decide anything and just say, well, I'm just going to sit here on my couch until the Lord just tells me we have to make decisions. But you know, what is it that guides us in our decisions? We need to be so very careful on putting our trust in the arm of flesh, looking to man to lead us in life. What does man lead us to? You know, we find ourselves in all sorts of trouble right now in our society because of man's will, what we feel like is best. Man's will has said that there's 26 different genders, right? Their wisdom, the wisdom of man. It doesn't make sense, except to someone who's decided in their intelligence that I have a better way. You know, it's an extreme, but we need to be so very careful that we're cautious about what it is that's influencing us in our decisions. Where are we being led to, and by whom? That when we feel like there is a direction that is come to us, that we are putting it before the Lord, who is the one who can give us the true guidance, and who is the one and the only one who wants to lead us in the paths of righteousness, and the only one who is able to get us to that place of salvation, as we read in Scripture. Turn to chapter 12 of 2 Nephi, and let's just read here verses 10 through 17. This is absolutely the nature of man that we're going to read here, and why we need to be so very careful. I'm going to read verses 10 through 17. Speaking of the days that are coming, as this was being penned, being written down, you know, they were looking. The Lord was giving a preview of what was going to come in the days to come, and I believe it is in our day. And we see this to be what man's wisdom is. There shall be many that say, eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God, for He will justify in committing a little sin, lie a little, take advantage of one because of His words, dig a pit for their neighbor. There's no harm in this. Get ahead. Get ahead. You know, in my particular struggle at work, I'm not here to lay it all out here, and I realize, and some people don't know all of it, but you know, there's been this undercurrent from some of my worldly coworkers and friends there, you know, to find a way to take advantage. Take advantage. I had a thought put before me of how I can I can handle this particular situation at work, you know, that you just got to go and you got to talk to someone, talk to a doctor and have them say a certain thing, and you know, it's going to make your department make a different choice. You know, that's man's wisdom. That's man's wisdom. We do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we're guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and we shall at last be saved in the kingdom of God. You know, man's wisdom says that God is not a God of standards. He's a God who's willing to fluctuate back and forth about what is right and what is wrong, because ultimately He wants us all to be saved, so He'll do anything to allow us to. And God wants us all to be saved. He wants us all in His kingdom eternally, but that does not mean that He's willing to allow the things that man wants to allow. There be many that shall say, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner false and vain, foolish doctrines, shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And their works shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Hey, they've all gone out of the way. They've all become corrupted because of pride, because of false teachers and false doctrine. Their churches have become corrupted. Their churches are lifted up. Because of pride, they're lifted up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. They persecute the meek and the poor in heart because of their pride. They're puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms. They've all gone astray, save it be a few, which are the humble followers of Christ. And nevertheless, they are led that in many instances they do err because they are taught by the precepts of men. By those things. You know, we look at what is really the nature of man. You know, I've talked to so many people who have said, well, I believe that man is basically good. And I don't believe that. I don't believe necessarily that man is basically evil. I think that man basically is looking out for himself. Always looking out for himself. That is our very nature, is to look out for ourselves. And if that means that I have to do something that's a little bit shady to get there, if I end up ahead in the long run, it's okay. You know, man's wisdom leads us in those paths. It's not the way to happiness. It's the way to stress and struggle. It's the way to sorrow. It's the way to destroying relationships and those things. You know, as we find ourselves walking through life and you find yourself at these forks in the road and you're trying to decide which way do I go and what decision do I make, consider as you feel the impress of decision, put it before the Lord. What is this wisdom that's coming to me? Is it the wisdom of man? Does it lead me in the paths of righteousness? Because the Lord's our shepherd, and He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. These are difficult things to consider, but we need to recognize that man, the man that's within us, those people who are around us who perhaps don't have a balance and a leading of God, you know, they look to lead us in man's paths. And man's paths are not God's paths. Turn back to 1 Nephi chapter 3. I'm going to read uh, 125. I probably should have just had you keep your... okay, anyway. I'm just going to read verse 125, but this is Nephi, he had asked the Lord, you know, would you show me what it was that my father saw? My father had this vision, and we know that vision, you know, it's with the rod of iron and what it was for. And Nephi wanted to know, so he asked the Lord, would you show me this? And so he began to he had this experience, and he began to see all these things of his father that his father saw, and they began to be open and expounded to him what they meant. And we know that you know what Lehi had seen is he saw this rod of iron, and he saw people grabbing a hold of it, and they were walking there towards this tree that was a representation of the love of God. And as they were walking, it says in verse 25, there was mist of darkness. It was darkness that came up about them. They couldn't see where they were going to go. You know, it was something that was there to distract them and to try to take them away, to cause them to be confused. And I'm sure the anxieties and fears when you can't see what it is, where you're supposed to go. And it says, the mist of darkness are the temptations of the devil, which blindeth the eyes, and hardeneth the hearts of the children of men, and leadeth them into broad roads, that they may perish and are lost. You know, Satan is one who is able to lead us, just as man is able to lead us, just as God is able to lead us, if we will allow Him to. If we will allow Him to. You know, when we find ourselves in these times of difficulty and trouble, you know, it feels like, I felt like this, that I cannot see ahead of me. I cannot see where I am going. I don't know what it is that I'm supposed to do. And I recognize that as the attack of Satan, as he's trying to lead me into other roads, broad roads, places that seem to be easy to walk on. Hey, this is the easy way to get through this trouble or this trial. And the end thereof is that we perish and we're lost. But you know, we hold to the Lord's Word. Because as we read in the book of Psalms, you know, His path leads us to righteousness. His Word, that rod of iron, we hold fast to it in every challenge that's before us, whatever it is. Whatever it is, if you're deciding where it is that you are, what you're trying to get a job at, or some challenge in your marriage, or whatever it is, we look to the Word of God so that He's the one who's leading us, and that we have trust that even though we might be in these times of darkness, it feels, that there is one who is willing to lead us through all of those things, and His Word is truth. We can hold on to it, and it will draw us in His path for righteousness' sake. I want to turn to 2 Nephi chapter 12. We were just over there, and I want to jump back over there. I'm going to read verses 23 through 30. The kingdom of the devil must shake. It must shake. And they which belong to it must be stirred to repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day, at our day, where we're at today, where we'll be at tomorrow, you know, as we're making decisions in life, Satan is raging. It says, that day he's going to rage in the hearts of the children of men and stir them up to anger against that which is good. You know, to cause us to think that when the Lord tells us, you know, that we don't speak evil of others, that's not the way we get ahead. That's what Satan is encouraging people to do. That's not how you get ahead. You need to fight. You need to get back at your spouse who's made you angry. You need to do these things. You know, Satan is trying to rage within our hearts if we will let him. Others will he pacify and lull them away into carnal security, that they'll say, all's well in Zion. Zion prospereth, all is well, everything's just fine. We can continue just the way it is. The Lord doesn't want us to change. We don't need to do anything different. It's worked well all this time. The Lord's not trying to perfect us. Satan's trying to lead us in that path. Thus the devil cheats their souls, and he leads them away carefully down to hell. Carefully, one little step at a time. If we're not considering always our shepherd and the path of righteousness that he desires to lead us in. Behold, others he flatters away, tells them there is no hell. He saith unto them, I'm no devil, there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains, from whence there's no deliverance, and their grasp with death and hell. Verse 30, woe unto him that be at ease in Zion. You know, we need to never be at ease. I think sometimes we find ourselves in the grip of trouble or trial because we have not been taken care of things in our life the way we had ought to be taking care of it. That sometimes we feel like all of a sudden something jumps up at us, or it's all of a sudden sprung upon us, but if we were actually looking at it, it's been coming for a while. We haven't been paying attention. We haven't been looking. How easy is it to allow a frustration with someone that we don't handle? It grows and it blossoms and it becomes something that becomes a detriment to us, because when we had the opportunity to simply say a few words, we didn't do it. Because it's easier to just say, all is well, it's fine, it doesn't matter, it's okay. One small example. But you know, these are the ways that Satan tries to lead us to be at ease. Where the Lord, you know, if He's truly leading, that means we are going forward. And where are we going forward to? We're going forward on those paths of righteousness. Being challenged in our thoughts of, is this the way the Lord would have me to think or to speak or to act? I want to consider those things. I want to turn to 3 Nephi chapter 1. And I'm going to read here. We've just gone through this last week or so in Sunday school, and this is just an example of what it was that Satan began to do here amongst these people. We'll read verses 38 through 42. And it came to pass that thus passed away the 95th year, and people began to forget those signs and wonders that they had heard, and began to be less and less astonished at a sign or a wonder from heaven. You know, sometimes I wonder if that's me, that sometimes in life, you know, you get busy with work, with family, with responsibilities, and you come to church and you hear a servant stand up here and he says, "The Lord has guided me in this message for you," and you think, "I know, the Lord guided you in a message last week." We sit here, we put in our time, and we begin to be less and less astonished at the God who knows us and loves us, who sees every emotion and every struggle within you and is looking for ways to talk you through it, to help you through it. Sometimes I find and I wonder if that's not been me throughout my life. You know, you come and you sit here and you begin less and less astonished that there is this being that is so powerful. You know, He created His Son. God the Father created Jesus Christ, who created everything. And He's willing and He's able to look down and see every struggle that I have. I wonder sometimes if we begin to be less and less astonished at this. And what does it cause sometimes? In so much they began to be hardened in their hearts. I'm not saying that's us. Maybe it is sometimes. And blind in their minds. And began to disbelieve all that which they had heard and seen, imagining up some vain thing in their hearts, that it was wrought by men or by the power of the devil to lead away and deceive the hearts of the people. And thus, in that way, Satan to get possession of the hearts of the people again, insomuch that he did blind their eyes and led them away to believe that the doctrine of Christ was a foolish and a vain thing. You know, this is what Satan wants to do. He wants to fight against this. Fight against Satan, or fight against Christ and against His doctrine, that, you know, it's foolish. You don't have to do things that way. You can get ahead. You can make it through life in other ways. And it came to pass that the people began to wax strong in wickedness and abominations, and they did not believe that there should be any more signs or wonders given, and Satan to go about leading away the hearts of the people, tempting them and causing them that they should do great wickedness in the land. You know, that was what he wants to do. And that's the only way that Satan can lead. He can't lead to good. He can't lead to a good outcome. He can't direct you to a good outcome. He doesn't have that ability. But he certainly has the ability to flatter you into thinking that he has a better way or that it can work out well. But you know, we have this rod of iron, and we have a shepherd who wants to lead us in the paths of righteousness, and who wants to have this communication with us. You know, I am so grateful for the gift of the Holy Ghost, because I know that there's been many times in my life where I've had a direction and a thought. I want to do this. This is where I'm going to go. And when I put it before the Lord, He stirs up His Spirit and asks me to look at something differently. I'm so grateful for the gift of the gospel, of the scriptures that are before us, that we can look and I can put before the Lord and look through scriptures and say, is the direction that I'm going, is the thought that I'm thinking, what I want to say to somebody, you know, is this what your word teaches me to do or to act? The Lord leads us in those ways, and we need to be using these things, using the Lord's wisdom, using the Lord's guidance, allowing Him to lead us. If we were to go back into 2 Nephi chapter 3, verse 64, it says, "I know that God will give liberally if we ask." If we ask, God will lift us up. God will give us wisdom. If we ask, if we're willing to take that time, you know, if we're willing to be patient in our prayer, if we're willing to be exercising our faith, not only in our belief, but in our actions, doing the things God wants us to, He will lead us. He gives liberally to those that ask. "Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me." When He's the one who is moving, when He's the one who is leading, we can be content. We can be happy. When He's the one who's directing, there is peace in our hearts. There may not be peace around us. I don't anticipate that as Nephi was strapped to the, was tied up on a boat and the waves crashing around and all that, that he would say, oh, there's peace everywhere else, but there was peace in his heart. He knew who was leading him, who his Savior was, where he was going. And so, what else to consider? Obviously, what it is that I want us to consider is, are we allowing God, are we allowing Christ to be our leader? To lead us, even though every part of us is telling us to do something different. So we have this faith and this trust in one that we've never seen. I've never felt the Lord take my hand and pull me some direction. And so it's hard to let God lead us. But He gives us assurances. You know, this is one reason why I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. These times in my life where I've known I've had decisions to make, and you know, I can come to my brothers and sisters, and He speaks to them. And they share experiences and testimonies, and I see we can trust in this God. We can allow Him to lead us, even though it's difficult. I want to turn to 2 Nephi chapter 13. Consider a few things here. A few things to take from the hour or so that you've allowed me to be here and to contemplate. I've got four scriptures left. I want you to contemplate a couple of things as you consider in your life. Is it God who's leading you in every aspect? And if not, how do we get there? What else do I need to do? There's these things that as ministry you hear us harping on all the time. But you know, it means something. It means something. Verses 12 through 15, I'm going to read here. 2 Nephi chapter 13, verses 12 through 15. You know, here Nephi, he's writing down these words of his brother. And it was this speaking of Christ and what it is he was going to do. So I'm going to read verses 12 through 15. And he saith unto the children of men, follow thou me. You know, Christ says, follow me, meaning I'm going to lead the direction that I want you to go. I want you to emulate me. Let me be your example. Do everything in your power to think the way that I think, to act the way that I act. You know, to put away your own human wisdom and direction, to follow me, the Savior of men. He saith unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus? Say we be willing to keep the commandments of the Father. We harp on this as ministry, and we have to. We have to. We have to. The things that the Lord asks us to do, it's not for a vain reason. It changes. It changes us. You know, when we're willing to pray for humility, to be more like Christ, it changes the very way that we as humans consider ourselves and consider situations. You know, the commandment that says, you know, we're supposed to pray with all the energy of our heart for charity. That's a commandment that we're supposed to be praying for that. And what does it do? You know, when we're filled with love, it changes every decision that we make. When we're filled with love, it makes us consider what I'm going to say to my wife when she does something that irritates me. When we're filled with love, it changes the way that we interact with our boss who drives us crazy. You know, these commandments that the Lord, you know, we hear this over and over again, and I can understand. It's like, yeah, you ministry, you keep saying, read the scriptures, do what's, you know, it can get frustrating sometimes. You know, do we become less and less astonished at God's Word? And how it is able to direct us through every trial and every trouble and every situation in life. Are we less astonished by that? Or are we willing to follow Jesus, to let Him lead us by doing the things He asks us to do? especially when it's hard. The Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that's baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore follow me, and do the things which you have seen me do. You know, there is this promise that comes, that when we are willing to follow, when we repent and we're baptized, you know, there's this blessing that comes of this gift of God, the Holy Ghost, that is there with us to help us to decipher all of those voices that are speaking to us, to help us to understand what it is that leads us in the path of righteousness. You know, the Lord wants us to follow Him, and He's given us all of these ways to help us to follow Him. You know, our Savior knew. He came here and He took on flesh. He knew how difficult it was. He knows the struggles and the difficulties that we have. He knows sorrow. He knows what it's like to lose. He knows what it's like to be alone. He knows what it's like to be accused. He knows what it's like to have fears. You know, we don't like oftentimes to consider it, you know, this God with us, the deity of Christ. But you know, scriptures tell me that He had fear. He was afraid of the unknown. When He was there in the garden, He had concerns about those things that were going to happen. You know, He knows. He knows us. I want to turn to the 139th Psalm. I love this Psalm. Everybody got excited. They said, he's only got four more scriptures, and he read one, so now it's three, but I'm going to read this whole thing. Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. You know, if we consider this, you know, if we were to go into John in the 10th chapter, here, I'll save you from one of the scriptures, as we know it. You know, Christ is talking about that He is the door, and He says that He is the shepherd, and He says, my sheep, you know, they know me. They know my voice. And to me, the porter's going to open, and they're going to come out, and I'm going to lead them. You know, it's one of these things, we've heard these sermons, and we know all of it before, you know, that a shepherd, you know, he knows his animals. He knows them. He's looked and he's seen, you know, which one of them is favoring a leg that's been injured. He knows which one of them is not as smart as the other ones. He knows which one of them is getting older and needs a little bit more. He sees which one is a lead. You know, this first verse here, it says, you know, Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. You know, our Savior, our Shepherd knows us. He knows you. And how much better is it to trust in someone who knows us, every part of us, that He knows how to lead us. He knows what Adam's needs are. He knows what I hate. He knows what I love. He knows what I can handle, every bit of it. And so take courage in your life as you exercise faith to let the Lord lead you, to know that this is a God who knows you. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of sea, even there Thy hand shall lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. You know, we cannot flee from Him. He knows us. He knows where we're at. He knows what circumstance we're in, and He wants to lead us, if we will let Him. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee. The night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, and Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members are written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. How precious are the Lord's thoughts towards each one of us! How is it that He knows how to lead us? Because He has great desires for us. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 48. And then I want to leave you guys with an experience and with some homework. Isaiah 48. I'll read 16 through 22. Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. You know, I want to stop for just a second here. The Lord God teaches us to profit. His Word teaches us to profit. Not to be rich. I had written in my notes here, you know, we consider ourselves to be sheep, and you know, that's the Lord's analogy for us, for whatever reason and all those reasons that we've talked about before, you know, but I consider sheep, and you know, they're not the most majestic animal. They aren't the most beautiful. They're not necessarily elegant. They don't really smell good. They require to be provided for, to be fed. They require protection, and they need to be led. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, and leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea, and thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels be like the gravel thereof. And then his name should not have been cut off nor destroyed before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, even with a voice of singing. Declare ye, tell this, utter it to the very end of the earth, and say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the desert. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. You know, he's hearkening back here to a time when the house of Israel was led across the desert. And you know, it's just like how Nephi said. You know, Nephi said, the Lord led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. He didn't take him out of it, but he provided for him. And I truly believe, you know, as we look in life, that really has to be what our hope is. Not to imagine up a God who makes everything flowery for us, but a God who in His leading us provides for our every need. They thirsted not when He led them through the desert. He caused the water to flow out of the rock for them and clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. A few months ago, I spent some time in fasting and prayer for all of these concerns of life, and finished up these times, and I know I've shared a little bit of this, but I just want us to consider it again. I finished up that time of fasting and prayer. I went out into the mountains, and I spent some time out there, and sat down and in the quiet and in prayerful contemplation, I asked the Lord, you know, you tell me what you want from me. What do you want me to know from you, Lord? And I was encouraged by the Lord to read the book of Ecclesiastes. And you know, I want to give you homework that you read it from front to back. It's 12 chapters, it's not that long. You know, the Lord had something that He wanted me to consider for the days that He knew were ahead for me. And it was this theme that we find here that the Lord is encouraging us to consider is what truly is life? What are all these things that we put stock in? Jobs and cars and clothes, entertainment, travel, food, all of these things, you know, they all really don't matter. They all really don't matter. What we need, God has provided, right? He told that to the Jews in the Sermon on the Mount. He told it to the Nephites and the Lamanites who were gathered here. So we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And everything else will be added to us. It's not about your station in life or where you're at. It's about recognizing that the Lord is willing to lead us in His paths to eternal life. Consider everything else. A good portion of it is simply noise. There's all these things that we need, and yet if we're not careful, they can cause us to be led in paths by man, by Satan. Let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For when we stand before Him, that we can answer, a good answer, and that we can have what He's been preparing us for from the moment that we were created, eternal life with Him. So I hope that you would consider this, you know, that there's a God who desires to lead us. We have to allow Him to do it. Do you understand, and are you thinking about that? Every time you come here, that every time that you open the Scriptures, there is these things that the Lord is asking you to look. Will you allow me to lead you? Are you listening? And so I put that before you this morning. I thank you for your time.